Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and ghouls of all ages, to another episode of Shadow Running on Empty. Once again, it's just going to be the two of us tonight while we take you on another tourism trip around the Metroplex in our latest episode of Living Lore. Easy, how you doing this week?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm very proud of myself of just thinking of that tourism pun for the two. You know,
Tourism.
So yeah, I'm just kind of basking in that one right now. It's
living high on those laurels.
It's going to get me through the rest of today. You know, I really needed that win. But we are doing good, man. Where are we off to this evening?
This evening we'll be taking a rich look at Tacoma. I know everybody likes to hang out down at the docks, and that's where we'll be taking a look today, where the slogan is, where the aroma is money.
Interesting. Okay.
Not sold on that one, I have to say.
Yeah, there's a certain level of pretension that just comes pre-attached to that phrase, I feel.
I was just thinking of, have you smelled sweaty money before? It's not good.
Yeah, that's the thing. As well as, like, most of the money probably smells like sweat and Novacoke. So, I remember seeing, like, a news article that was talking about how, like, 96% of $1 bills in circulation are able to be tested positive for some type of cocaine residue.
Or some kind of drug residue.
Yeah, some type of drug residue on it. And I was like, America, the land of the free. Let's go.
Hey, man. You gotta survive that nightclub life somehow.
Well, that just means that all of the coke fiends are, you know, cheap bastards, because everybody knows that the only way to actually do it is with a crisp Benjamin Franklin.
Mm.
Otherwise, are you truly living?
Yeah, are you truly living? Do you really, really live the high life? Because if you're not using hundos, we see where you're at.
But yeah, the smell of money. I'm not a fan of that one.
Well, they say the aroma. So if you
that's even
walk
worse.
In, if you had to walk into what a Yankee candle or whatever, would you look for the money aroma?
Oh, the money. Oh, yeah, my three my three wick money candle that's burning in the background. That's fair.
Smells like a $2 bill. All right. Well, let's take a look at what they got. We're, again, looking at a lovely population density of about 375,000. Of course, humans being at the top at 71%. And then elf at 11%.
Yeah, okay. I could see that.
Orc is actually at 15%.
Ooh.
Right? And then dwarf, troll, and other rounds out at 1% each.
As is tradition.
As is tradition. You again have a high corporate affiliation at almost 89%. That makes sense because this is supposed to be down in the dock area. So you got to think they're going to have a presence.
Which I feel like lends into the credence of why the orc population density would be so high. It's because they're all probably dock workers. But what are the elves doing there?
That's a good question. Maybe we'll find out.
As I've always been led to believe, elves hate manual labor. So I'm very confused about this.
By every reference of pop culture everywhere, elves are not big into manual labor. So for decades, Tacoma has lived in the shadow of downtown Seattle. Seattle was white collar to Tacoma's blue. Seattle was tall, majestic skyscrapers to Tacoma's polluting smelters and paper mills. Seattle was rich and Tacoma was poor. Residents of Tacoma could do little more than endure Seattleites' snide remarks about Tacoma's aroma. But now...
Which is money, according to them, so...
Well, now it is.
Oh, I see.
Before it was paper mill and smelters. So.
Before it was the aroma of poor, and now it is the aroma of money. You know, with that context, maybe the slogan actually makes a little bit more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Tacoma's just really proud of its glow up. All right. I don't think we should take that away from them.
Well, Tacoma's day has finally come. Ever since 2039, the megacorps have been buying up land in the district at an unprecedented rate. Citizens of Tacoma can now gaze proudly at the shiny new skyscrapers under construction while bustling freighter traffic sails in and out of the city's expanded port. Despite the rapid growth, the charming turn-of-the-century downtown area has been meticulously preserved, as have many of the historic reminders of the Night of Rage. Remember, that was the whole, we gotta kill all the metahumans.
Yes.
That took place mostly in Tacoma, or was felt the hardest in Tacoma.
I see. Now, so prior to the Night of Rage, do we know, did Tacoma just, in general, was that where like the highest meta population density was within the Metroplex?
At the time beforehand, before Seattle kind of becomes the Metroplex and you had an influx of refugees fleeing the areas of the Midwest from the Nan becoming its own nation.
Right.
And so mass exodus of people. You had a lot of people come to the California and Seattle area.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time before it becomes the Metroplex, it's just Tacoma, Everett, and downtown Seattle.
Oh,
it's not the Metroplex yet. And so you get a bunch of refugees, and then with your UCOS government being all the way on the East Coast, you're not really getting a whole lot of federal aid. You kind of have to, you know, fend for yourself.
Yeah, and with Seattle still being Seattle, regardless of the Metroplex, like they were saying, I'd imagine that most of the blue-collar hands ended up in Everett.
Yes.
So, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It's still nice to know that they kept the turn-of-the-century look for Tacoma, so it wouldn't...
Or Tacoma, not Everett. Sorry, I meant Tacoma, not Everett.
Ah. So, in the current Shadowrun setting, the Coma that you would visit now would be relatively the same as what you would see, just with some slightly larger buildings with Megacorp logos on it, and the shipyard port would be a little bit larger than what it currently is.
Right, I gotcha. They didn't go for the full scale future city sellout.
No, they didn't go for the full glam up that downtown Seattle went through.
Gotcha. No glass pyramids in Tacoma.
No.
Okay.
Well, maybe part of one, but still.
Oh.
But now that that's all behind them, because the future is looking up.
Smells like money.
Mm-hmm. District looks bright. Don't be surprised if you hear a snide joke or two about downtown Seattle instead. Turning the other way. In most parts of Seattle, the Mafia and Yakuza fight on fairly even terms. In Tacoma, however, Yakuza clans dominate, with the Mafia reduced to the minor role usually reserved for the Sulper rings. Yakuza dominance stems from the far-sightedness of one of its leaders, who 22 years ago, or more than that, if we're going by the current timeline, it'd be closer to now 50-ish years ago. While everyone else was buying in the downtown and Bellevue districts, which end up being some of the richer districts once the Metroplex is established, this particular Gumi, who was then only a mid-level accountant for one of the clans, saw the golden opportunity, and he began to secretly buy up the cheaper Tacoma property with Yakuza money. This bold move enraged many of the other Yakuza clans, but his life was spared thanks to the chaos of the Night of Rage. So he gets lost in the shuffle.
That's, you know, to be fair, they did have bigger things to deal with.
A little bit, yeah. After the vast destruction of the riots, Tacoma property went for sale at next to nothing.
Mm.
Who knew?
So then he bought up the rest of the neighborhoods.
Yep. Foresight gave his clan a stranglehold in Tacoma and eventually led to his ascension from just being the mid-level accountant to an Oyoban.
There you go. Listen, I think we all agree and understand on the basic concept of buy low, sell high.
Right? Of course, the mafia, in an effort to counter Yakuza power, has adopted very violent tactics, going for bombings, assassinations, drive-by shootings, all aimed at Yakuza holdings. Apparently are very commonplace down in Tacoma.
Ah, I see. Still? Or was this like while it was coming back from the Night of Rage?
Nope. Nope, still. Since Yakuza firmly holds on to Tacoma.
Mafia, so, not a big fan?
Mafia's not happy about it.
Mm.
I mean, who's supposed to work their docks? Some yaks? Come on.
That's very fair. If I know anything about the Mafia, they love doing business at the docks. So,
if movies and television has taught me anything.
Yeah, I can see why they would take it so personally.
Mm-hmm.
I would just feel like that would be the logical place to like buy into property in general, though. Like, it's weird to me that it was seen as a bad move to buy property into what would probably be the largest port city in a state that is now next to, you know, the ocean coast and is the major trade port of the entire western half of the United States pretty much at this point. Like, if not that, then San Francisco maybe.
Right.
But yeah, that's, it's just weird to me that like Tacoma is the port. And everybody's like, don't buy land there. It's like, where else are you going to buy land?
So here's why I think that comes into play and why it happened. Is at the time, right, before, I mean, this is before the Metroplex gets formed, no one knew that the Tacoma docks were going to be expanded from the megacorps coming in and pouring money into the area to build bigger warehouses, more places for infrastructure, things like that. They also couldn't foresee that California would not join the COS or UCOS and go its own direction
to become
a free state.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And thus you lose that big port that's already there in San Fran. So there was that. And then I think around the same time the Metroplex is getting going, there's also the competition that you're getting from Portland in the tier importing goods as well, using Portland as their own large port for goods to come in as well. So
a land of port, if you will.
A land of port, yes. So you have all this going on, and so the mafia already has a stronger hold in what is downtown Seattle.
Right.
And downtown and Bellevue are the two areas that saw the biggest growth from megacorps coming in. And so, of course, organized crime is going to go there first.
Right.
Because these are the areas that are getting developed faster. And they're not looking at outlying areas just yet because they want to break into the hot markets before they get completely established.
Right, for sure. Okay, I could see that.
That's why you got one guy who just happens to be looking the other way going, how about this place?
But what if?
It's a big gamble, obviously, because they wanted to kill him, but it ends up paying off.
I would say so.
So the strong arm tactics from the mafia have caused many of the smaller Yakuza front companies to close down, but have done very little to increase the mafia's own power in the district. So basically what they're doing is they're just kind of destroying small Yakuza startups so that the bigger ones that are already there established are just then gobbling them up and consolidating more power.
I see. I mean, it is a valid strategy. I'll give them that.
Of course, the task of establishing a mafia foothold in Tacoma has fallen to one Matt Uhill, who Mafia Don O'Malley flew in from New York.
It's a good name.
Mm-hmm. Remember, we talked about the Sopal Rings, too.
Yes.
And they also operate in Tacoma successfully on a much smaller scale.
I mean, I feel like successfully on a much smaller scale is pretty much the MO of the Sopal Rings, right?
Yeah, they like to run really small, like gambling dens,
Yeah.
little drug operations here and there. Nothing major. Like they're not moving big shipments or anything from the
Yeah.
port. So that's why they're probably largely overlooked.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I feel like that should just be the slogan of of the Solpa rings. It's successfully and undetected. That's the MO. So far, so good.
Tacoma has more than its share of Thriller and Go Gangs. The most fearsome Go Gang is known as the Spike Wheels,
Ooh, good name.
and it controls the Tacoma stretch of Intercity 5.
Ooh.
Most gang members are trolls who ride specially enlarged combat bikes.
That sounds terrifying.
Some of Tacoma's fiercest thrill gangs are the Fiercest Surgeons, the Milton Dark Angels, and the Lakewood Giants.
Oh, you got to be careful with that. Games Workshop might get pissed about
I know, right?
that
We're about to get a nasty
one. What are
email.
their gang colors? Cream and dark green?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
But the spikes operating in Tacoma is a big deal. The spikes are one of the larger go gangs, one that is known in the Shadowrun lore a lot too. They don't like elves at all.
I feel like the only people that like elves in the sixth world are elves.
It really seems that way,
It
doesn't
really kind of feels
it?
that way. I mean, I feel like the tears don't help, you know? Like,
No,
I feel like
with
when
being
they is.
isolationist a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like when
Yeah.
they established the tears that they were kind that the rest of the sixth world is kind of like, well, you know, fuck them then. Let them have like, all right, well, they can just go live in the tears. It's like...
They're trying to get him there anyway, so just, let him go. What do I
Yeah, right.
care?
Who's gonna stop him? So I feel like disliking elves is the norm in the sixth. Ha finding people that like the elves is the exception to the rule now instead.
Yeah, the spikes are notorious for not liking elves. They get into scraps with the other all elven go gang called the Ancients.
You
They
know what?
definitely
That
fight each other a lot.
that's a really good name for an all elven gang, though. I can respect that.
Yeah. You have to think how crazy they have to be to take on an all troll go gang.
I mean, I imagine that they just look like the Dark Eldar.
No, the spikes general. Oh, you mean the Ancients.
I mean, the ancients. Yeah.
You know what? I don't know. I'll have to come back to that and look up what their colors are. I don't remember. I'm off the top of my head.
Lots of leather and studs. That's what I'm
With
imagining with the ancients.
the like spike chain whips and
Uh-huh,
stuff.
yeah, uh-huh.
But by far, the most destructive thrill gang are the Ragers of Tacoma's waterfront.
The Ragers? Is that
Yeah,
what
the
that's
Ragers.
oh, okay.
These young orcs are the sons and daughters of the survivors of the Night of Rage.
Ah, appropriately named then.
The Ragers prey on people, particularly humans, up
What?
and down Commencement Bay, all in the name of orc freedom and self-defense.
I don't believe that they would prey on mostly humans. That seems suspicious.
Never mind that that's who preyed on them in the Night of Rage.
No, hang on. That doesn't have anything to do with this, EZ. I feel like
Oh
you're just
no,
looking.
yes, making things up.
You're gonna hurt your shoulders reaching that hard, my friend. You better do some stretching first. No, that's fair. I agree with those guys. Fuck those humans. They probably deserve
My God.
it. What have humans ever given to society, EZ? What have we ever contributed, huh? All the cool stuff comes
Civilization?
from metas.
Oh, okay, I see.
Hey, we don't know. There's probably a good chance that elves established civilization back in the fourth world, all right? Who's
You
to
know
say?
what? Who's to say they wouldn't claim that anyway?
Oh, they definitely do. They're like the Romans, never heard of them.
The Romans, you mean my second cousin Vinny?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Vinny
Vinny Roman, you know.
Roman.
He's part of the ancients. I don't know why they got Brooklyn accents now for some Washington elves, but hey, oh, who knows?
We got some soprano elves, you know.
What are we gonna do?
Gobbledygook.
They're from the New Jersey chapter of the Ancients. Up there, they're called the Ancients. The Ancients. Their sigil's just an elf, just an elf grandma eating some Stromboli.
So what is it? Who would bother?
Who would bother? We do it for her. How did we get here? What were we talking about?
You know what? Let's keep it into coma.
Oh, the Rangers. That's where we were.
Somehow we got there from here. So, geography and demographics for Tacoma. Tacoma is a large, flat district that juts down into Puget Sound. The few existing hills were leveled off to form one of the best deep, wide harbors in the Pacific Northwest. Engineers have further deepened and widened the bay, a complex series of docks, waterways, warehouses, and railroads carry out tons of commerce every day without trouble, far exceeding Seattle's capabilities.
Is the fact that they're adjacent to Puget Sound why you were saying that they're kind of next to a glass pyramid?
Yes.
I see. Okay.
Most people that live in the Tacoma area are middle-class workers who owe their allegiance to one of the mega corporations.
Which are the major mega corporations that have set up shop in Tacoma, Easy?
You've definitely got Renraku, Shiawase, Mitsuhama, and Wujing. All of them would definitely have holdings in the Tacoma area because most of their goods are getting shipped over from across the Pacific. So they're definitely going to have holdings there. You might not see much of Aries in the Tacoma area.
Okay, interesting.
Trying to think of who else you probably wouldn't see. Neonet.
Yeah, that also makes sense.
Yeah, most of the ones that you're going to see that are going to be in the Tacoma area are all going to be based over in Japan, China, or Russia for our big megacorps, because all their stuff has to come across the Pacific.
What about, what's the one that Tyler's favorite dragon was involved with?
Wafir?
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't see Satyrkrupp.
Satyrkrupp, okay.
I mean, maybe for some heavy industry. I have to think that you would most likely see more of Satyrkrupp engineers like strengthening the dock or something like that, as opposed to actually having large holdings in the area.
I see. More of a part of the infrastructure of the area.
Right.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Let's move on to our favorite. Who's running this joint, this district?
The Yaks, but who have they put in as their stooge?
One Ava W. Pratt is the interim mayor of Tacoma. That changes, obviously, as time goes on. In 2072, we have Mayor Francesca Sipple running on an environmental platform of cleaning up the district, both physically and socially.
And I assume that she probably only made it one term and then we got a new mayor.
She was cracking down on violent crime in the area, and her crime task force focused mostly on the Yakuza activity in Tacoma. And it was later discovered that she was bought and paid for by the Ganelli family to help ensure they can wrestle Tacoma away from the Yaks.
That sounds about right. Mafia meddling within politics? Never what? Heard of it.
I've never seen that ever in my life. And then in 2076, we have Mayor William Duffy learning from the past, with Francesca having chosen a side and it cost her everything. The Yaks saw to that. He chose the biggest bully he could find and serve. Good old Federated Boeing. So
he decided to go the corporate route instead, I see.
Yeah, and what better way than Federated Boeing?
That's fair. I believe Within the modern world, Boeing's headquarters is in Seattle, isn't it?
I believe so, yes.
That checks out then.
They're not in Tacoma. I think they're down in the Fort Lewis area,
Ah, I see.
if I remember right.
Well, that'll be for another episode, Easy. Jeez.
Exactly. But yes, so the current mayor running Tacoma as of 2076, Mayor William Duffy, who has sided with Federated Boeing and isn't trying to stick his nose into the organized crime problems of Tacoma at all.
Good old Bill. He knows where he stands.
Not wanting to get assassinated.
He stands firmly in the middle.
No drive-by mafia guys, bombings, or ninjas for him.
Exactly.
So you wanted to look at the economy, so let's take a look at the economy in Tacoma. It used to rely solely on heavy industry and trade, but the recent real estate and construction boom is broadening the district's economic base to include more private businesses.
Oh, interesting.
There are 18 major factories in Tacoma, manufacturing everything from steel girders and paper to seagoing freighters. Federated Boeing's metal refinery, where precious metals and alloys are created for production of their aircraft, is the largest and most important factory in the district.
Whenever I think of a smelter plant, I can only ever think of the episode of The Simpsons where Homer's concerned that Bart might be gay, so he's trying to like t take him around to do, and
We
he takes
work
him.
hard, we
We
play
play
hard.
hard, dude. Oh my God, that fucking scene every time
Homer,
absolutely kills me.
why did you bring me to this steel mill?
Why'd you bring me?
Don't know. I don't know.
Oh, it's so good.
Right, I'm gonna leave you here at this intersection. You're gonna stare at this billboard. I'll be back in 18 hours.
Oh, man. Also, shout outs to John Waters, one of the best cameos in The Simpsons, man. So good. Me and my friend, me and one of my friends, like kind of the basis of our friendship when we first started hanging out was The Simpsons. And so to this day, whenever we see each other, we always just look at each other and we go, zap, zap,
Wow.
zap. Anyway,
Oh man.
sorry.
Anyway,
So they work hard, they play hard.
they work hard, they play hard. Yes. Tacoma's modern port is capable of handling commercial ships of all sizes. Artificial waterways and the widened entrance to the Puyallup River have reduced traffic congestion around the port and provide enough room for the largest freighters to dock without difficulty. Every year, 400 freighters from all around the Pacific Rim dock at Tacoma.
But easy, what if one of them were to say, hypothetically, get stuck horizontally in the canal? What would they do about it? Because I have a theory of how to easily solve the problem, but what would yours be?
Okay. So obviously modern problems require modern solutions. And
Yes.
in a time in which magic exists, I would
Uh-huh.
assume that some water elementals
Elementals would push
would
the boat,
be
dude. Let's go. The same exact thought that I had. You just summon water elementals and they push the boat, man.
right? Super easy. You don't have to do anything. There's no turning. You don't have to
Yes.
wait, forever for the boat to turn. Just get some
Oh.
good old water elementals and they'll move the ship for you.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yes, 100%. All right, fantastic.
That's what I'm saying, man. Modern problems, modern solutions.
I'm glad that we've accounted for this insane hypothetical that would never happen.
No, clearly everybody that is the captain of a large freighter that is carrying goods is a capable individual.
And understands how a canal system works. But yes, no, exactly.
Yeah, we're not throwing anybody under the boat, as it were.
Hey.
Hmm.
Some people might have said that the scenario was sink or swim.
Of course, not. It's not just an intake port. Seattle does have goods that leave as well. And waiting on the docks for export are tons of Seattle, Yukos, and Nan goods. Two of the most important exports are food from the Salish Sea Council farms and aircraft from Federated Boeing.
Shock.
I know, right? When
shock and surprise.
When your nation takes over the entire Midwest, yes, your biggest export will be crops. Who knew?
Oh, no, I was talking more about the Federated Boeing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, come on. Of course.
Yeah, yeah. The Bible Belt crop import is just like, yep, that checks out. But yeah, I love the... And where do they fly out of? Well, probably Federation of Boeing International Airport of Boeing Aircrafts.
What?
Located on Boeing Field. In Impossible. Beautiful central Boeing, Washington. Yes, they've bought the town.
They've just federated it all.
Dude.
So walking almost anywhere in the district, a visitor will be amazed at the number of sparkling new corporate towers, such as the Shiawassee Corporation Complex.
I always love the names that corporations use for buildings to try to make them feel less corporate.
Mm-hmm. But they sound far more corporate.
Yeah, like, oh, I work at the complex. And I'm like, that, why?
Hey, would you rather work at the complex or the compound?
Oh, okay. See, I don't like the, like, inferred intentions of either of those locations, though. That's the problem. I don't know what would be the lesser of those two evils, to be honest with you. They're both pretty bad. I probably a complex, just because, like, the implications of a compound are way too wide. I feel like I can narrow the margins a little bit in a complex.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But a compound, dude, anything goes in the compound, dude.
I was gonna say, both places, if you boil it down, you're drinking Kool-Aid.
It's so many Gatorade coolers of Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh.
The new buildings are the most obvious signs of a real estate boom that has made many Tacoma residents rich beyond their wildest imaginations.
Yay.
We're higher middle class. Yes.
Okay.
Tacoma's what?
Sorry, I just, as a quick aside.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I never really cared about the concept of real estate
mm-hmm.
until I played the Yakuza games. Now, let me explain. So,
okay,
Yakuza
do.
Zero. In Yakuza Zero, you play two different storylines. There's the Goro storyline and the Kiryu storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Each of those has their own, like, dedicated B plot story. Kiryu's is that you get involved in real estate. And so what happens is you get a property and then you have to go around and do side missions in the world to get people of the different positions to run the property for you. So there's like manager, security, janitor and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do side missions and you unlock these characters to manage the property. And one of the characters that you get is Nugget. Nugget is a chicken that Kiryu wins at a bowling alley.
Okay.
And then he puts a tie on him, and you use him as a manager for your real estate property. This
uh-huh.
made me so invested in real estate, dude. I like I didn't know that all I needed was Nugget in my life to make me care,
uh-huh.
and I was like, I get it now.
Amazing!
It all clicks in. So
amazing!
That's my backdoor recommendation for everybody. Should play the Yakuza games. They're pretty fucking good.
I've heard good things. I've never actually played them, but I have heard good things.
Highly recommend. You can usually start with Zero. You can usually find it on sale for like $6. Pick it up.
Yeah. Okay. And how appropriate, as you know, Yakuza and controlling Tacoma. You know, it
all.
Makes sense.
I bet you Kiryu runs Tacoma based on the experience I've had. His real estate management abilities are pretty good. So I think that Kiryu could run Tacoma for sure on behalf of the Yakuza.
Okay.
He's probably who had the second mayor assassinated, if we're being perfectly honest. That's his efficiency.
Amazing.
Hey, Chummers, if you're listening to this or watching it on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to the channel and give us a thumbs up. If you are listening on Spotify or another podcast streaming service, please rate the episode and share it so we can get it out to the other like-minded Shadowrun individuals. You can also subscribe to our Patreon over at patreon.com/critical_hits. $5 a month gets you behind-the-scenes looks. Also, we'll put you in touch to be able to hear those Worm Talk episodes. And finally, you guys, down in the description, you will find an affiliate link for DriveThruRPG. It's got everything that you could possibly need over there. New RPGs, new modules, supplements, adventures. Whenever you're going to check out of DriveThruRPG, just drop that in to the affiliate link, and that would help us out in the long run. And with that, I thank you guys very much. And now let's get back to the show.
Sorry. So real estate boom makes sense. Land to build up that they got really cheap. So, you know, that's how you do.
Mm-hmm. 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 So, yeah, obviously, it's a big economic boom for people. So let's take a look at the interesting places that you can find in the Tacoma area.
Well, we already talked about the smelter.
Well, let's go with our usual and talk about hotels.
Woo!
Where are you going to stay when you visit?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to stay. How about this? You've got Lakewood Comfy Cubicle.
Ooh, you had me right up until the end there.
It's a no frills cubicle hotel, like most others of the Comfy Cubicle hotel chain. Offers reasonable value for tourists on a tight budget. You ready for your coffin motel? Because there it is.
Okay, so I was quick to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen capsule hotels?
Yes, I have.
So I assume that that's what this is.
That's basically what coffin motels in the Sixth World are, yes.
I see. Okay, that makes a lot more sense now. I know that we had the joke conversation a while ago about them actually being like mortician themed.
Mm-hmm.
And so my brain's still like, that's what it automatically just defaults to most of the time. But yes. So if it's a lakefront capsule hotel, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'd be all right with that. I think I'd be all right. I wouldn't be too bad.
I love this quote here from a user called Findler.
Oh, okay.
It'd be more hilarious if it was Fiddler Man.
I really wish it was Fiddler Man.
It was because I think we'll just change it to Fiddler Man because. Okay. He says, quote, "Everybody sing, ain't no coffin like my old coffin, the one I used to call home."
Okay. I like Fiddler Man. I'm a big fan of this.
Okay. From now on, that's what it shall be.
I really want every hotel to have some type of sung review from Fiddler Man now. Like, I wish that was his thing.
It would be great.
I would be super excited.
Apparently, the manager of the Lakewood Comfy Cubicle is a skilled magician with a pet eye killer whose name is Gouger and has killed more than a few people trying to rob the hotel or harm the manager.
Wait, what's an eye killer?
I'm so glad you asked.
Okay, cool. I'm glad that was a setup.
It was. This is a big setup. An eye killer.
Uh-huh.
Is a large bird resembling an owl.
Sick. Okay.
They average 7 meters in length and can hunt nocturnally in the same respects as owls. Their sharp talons and the paranormal ability to generate an electrical discharge make them efficient predators.
What the fuck? They're electric owls?
Yes. They're electric owls. I love it. Yo. 7 meter electric owls.
They're those. God damn, dude. Dope. Okay. This is my new favorite paranormal critter. What an eye killer?
That's fair.
How do you spell it?
It's eye killer, exactly like EYEKILLER.
Oh, okay.
Exactly like it sounds.
It's very literal. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Yeah, these things are fucking dope. All right, I love it.
7 meters in length, though. Like,
that's dude. Does it happen by chance? Does it happen to say its wingspan?
It does not, but you know what I would equate it to, probably? Have you ever seen the harpy owls?
Yes.
And how disturbing they look.
Very fair. Okay.
I would assume that their wingspan is much like that.
Fair. Okay. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Very fair. You know, we have at our zoo, the Phoenix Zoo here in Arizona. Mm-hmm. We have a exhibit that has a bald eagle. It has two, I think. We have two bald eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Bald eagles are the most terrifying creature that's ever existed. And I'm very glad that they don't hunt human, because they could so easily.
Dude, they are large.
Holy shit, dude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, you go up to it and you're like, oh, that's just me sitting in that tree right now, but like deadly, if I was mm-hmm. lethal. Oh man. So yeah, okay, I'm super down for the giant attack bird. What would be so okay, so is this like it can shoot electricity from its body thing, or is this more of like a Blanket thing where it just electrifies itself?
Generates an electrical discharge, so I imagine that it builds a charge around itself, and then when it hits you with the talons, it discharges the electrical buildup. So gotcha. I would go more Blanka.
Okay, you know what, even cooler, because that would be like, you can't even try to fight that thing off.
No,
damn. Yeah,
scary, right?
Gnarly. I yep.
Who needs a taser when you've got an eye killer?
Fucking A, dude.
It's a flying taser. You know what I want to do now?
Uh-huh.
I totally want to try to make a Shadowrunner.
Uh-huh.
That is just like a paranormal animal tamer.
Dude, yes.
And uses
okay.
them as the, like, is a falconer, but for uh-huh. like some kind of weird para animal. Bro. But he's an adept at the same time.
Dude, the Nova Possum wrapped in knives, okay? Hear me out. Hear me out, dude. So you take a Nova Possum, uh-huh. and then you just take like 6 butcher's knives. Okay. Tape it in a ring around the Nova Possum.
Uh-huh.
And then you just have like the most lethal projectile creature.
Swing it by its tail like a nun.
Dude, like a and then away! And then it just takes off, bro. Name your Nova Possum Mjolnir at that point.
This is a category we definitely have to come back to. I'm making a note about this. We're talking about this on a Worm Talk, definitely.
Dude, I am making the mental list of all of these ridiculous Shadowrun characters that we keep coming up with.
Mm-hmm.
Paranormal Critter Wrangler is like top of the list right now. he has just reached the top of the list. This character sounds fantastic.
So good. And this is why we have these moments.
Oh man.
Next on our hotel list, though. This one's not as nearly as interesting. It's just the Sheraton Tacoma.
Oh, okay. Hey, you know what? You get what you pay for.
Yeah, yeah.
As is the Sheraton slogan.
But since it is in Tacoma, a uh-huh. Little blurb about it. More than 300 metahumans fled to this turn-of-the-century hotel to hide from the flames of the Night of Rage. They were protected from certain death by the hotel's predominantly human staff, who literally barricaded the entrances of the hotel against terrorist intruders. This moment in the hotel's history is proudly remembered with a plaque in a small museum in the lobby.
Dope. So it's the Freedom Compound Sheraton Hotel.
Yes.
I like
the,
it.
The
like
Metahuman
it.
Remembrance Sheraton Hotel Complex.
Hey, you know what, man? That's pretty dope. Yeah, props to Sheraton. Who would have thought?
There also may be a secret entrance under the Sheraton that leads from the basement to the Orc Underground.
You know, that would check out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's probably where the Orc Underground started.
Could have been. A lot of the underground definitely did get its roots from the Night of Rage and people fleeing to like tunnels and.
Yeah, to go hide in the ruins. Yeah, that makes sense.
That is indeed how it started.
Cool, cool.
Finally, we
Well,
have
I mean,
the.
not cool, but you know.
Yes, I know what you mean. I know you are a proponent fan of the Orc Underground.
It's so cool.
And then finally, for hotels, we have the Tacoma Dome Hotel. The Tacoma Dome is one of the best hotels in the district. Its rooms are luxurious. Its main restaurant, superb. The large solarium is a wonderful place to relax, and the location offers easy access to the district's public transportation. But you're probably going to pay out the nose for it.
That's very I mean, look, if you're staying in a hotel that comes with a built-in like a like a
Solarium.
yeah, a built-in solarium, dude, like yeah, that's gonna be the that is a long ways off from beachfront capsule hotels.
Now we go to our favorites, places to eat. These are always usually pretty good, right?
I mean, I have to imagine it's going to be like a lot of seafood restaurants, right?
Well, first we've got DeClary's. DeClary's is a bar. It is run by one Vincent Bone Crusher DeClary.
Good name. Is
DeClary is.
he an orc?
It doesn't say. It does say that DeClary is one of the few places in Tacoma controlled by the mafia. The owner used to be an enforcer for the mob.
Okay, now remind me, how does the mafia feel about metas?
They're indifferent.
Okay, that's what I thought was the case, but I just wanna make sure.
I think they were opposed in the beginning. But as time went on, they realized that they can't be choosy.
I think all humans were opposed, and then the Night of Rage happened, and then like the not super shitty humans are like, maybe the metas are okay now? Is this I think like they're just people, right? And so that makes sense.
We've got Lakewood Shizan, mid-sized restaurant. Family style that specializes in Tanzanian Indian cuisine.
I'm down with that.
It is run by a family of recent immigrants from Tanzania, and the exotic menu, even the soy half, is excellent.
Oh, I'm glad that they threw that in there for, you know, the soy enthusiasts out there in the Metroplex.
Soy enthusiasts. Oh, next on Soy Talk. We've got the Tacoma Purple Haze. La large restaurant and bar. One of the best first-class restaurants in the district. The Purple Haze offers cuisine that is a wonderful mix of Texan, Aztlan, and Pueblo dishes.
Why is it called Purple Haze?
I don't know.
Okay, it's a cool name. I just it seems like a strange name for a Tex-Mex place, but you know.
Right? Yeah. Apparently, it is a favorite with the area's celebrities.
Fair enough.
Then we've got good old Tacoma style.
Okay.
This trendy restaurant has a wonderful view of Puget Sound and an excellent Salish menu. The first-class restaurant is a major attraction for the young and beautiful people, most of whom will go downstairs to the style nightclub after dinner.
Okay, interesting.
Apparently, Tacoma style is a favorite hangout for Tacoma's Mr. Johnsons.
You gotta be careful when you're saying stuff like that on
I
the
mean for Shadowrunners.
it's a hell of a statement, my friend. That's fair. I mean, that checks. Hey, listen, I believe it was you who at one point we were talking, and you brought up giving me shit about the concept of the Shadowrunner bar. It's just an easy. That's
Yeah.
what the Johnsons are for, man.
I guess. I mean, they can say it's a favorite hangout. Whether they're actually there is a whole nother question. Maybe you
Yeah.
could get suckered in with information like that.
But I still think that it's funny that that's I feel like that's the point of them being there though, right? The Johnson is your intermediary.
True. I mean, maybe you could find a fixer.
Very true.
Tourist
Oh, do
attractions
they,
are up
real
next.
quick,
Yes.
do they explain what Tacoma style is? Like, is that like a lifestyle? Is it a
They just say Tacoma style.
Tacoma style? Okay.
It's a mid-sized restaurant and bar.
Right. With a
Apparently,
nightclub.
the nightclub is attached to it. And it's just called
Okay.
style. The nightclub
Fair
is just
enough.
called style.
Oh, okay. All right.
So to make it different,
I see.
the bar or the place to eat is different.
Yes. That's fair.
Tourist attraction. There's the Charles Rower Station. This is the district's transportation hub. The Charles Station is a boarding point for people wishing to take the bullet train to San Francisco. It's also a major heliport with flights to and from SeaTac and all other major helipads in the city.
Nice. Did we talk about the bullet train at some point? Because that sounds familiar,
We
but I'm
may
trying
have
to
mentioned
remember.
it early on when we started talking about the Metroplex as one of the ways to get into the Seattle Metroplex, because it
Okay.
only goes from Seattle to San Fran.
Gotcha. Right. Okay. I remember that it went into California. I was trying to remember, but that San Fran makes sense
I
for
don't
where it
think there's
went. Okay.
any other stop. It just goes directly.
Fair. Okay, cool. Sorry, I was trying to just remember on that one.
No, it's fine. And we've got the Crying Wall.
Oh. Can you set a Shadowrun episode on the bullet train?
Maybe we could do a one-off or something to have our own bullet train episode.
Hey,
I
anything
see
goes
where
on the
you're
bullet
going.
train, man. I am
So great, so great. The Crying Wall is during the infamous Night of Rage, thousands of metahumans died in the fires that broke out on the docks of the Tacoma waterfront. After the riots, the survivors decided to erect a monument to those who died. What the orc and dwarf sculptors created was the Crying Wall, a somber tableau 20 meters long and 6 meters high that commemorates the night's terrible events. It is a powerful work of art. The public is invited to view the wall, though the informal contingent of orc guards will tolerate no slights, real or intended, from human visitors. No one spray paints that wall. No one.
Fair, dude, fair enough, man. If the answer to that is you deal with the orcs, like, nah, I'm good, dude.
The impromptu orc guards, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, you have SeaTac Mall because you've got to have a shopping center.
Oh, I can't wait to go to Suncoast at SeaTac Mall. Buy my $65 anime DVD with three episodes on it.
But think of all the commentary.
Bro, you get text list openings and closings. What else do you need, dude? It's like a music video.
There's also the Tacoma Mall. The Tacoma Mall is the oldest shopping mall in the city, with some buildings dating all the way back to the 1960s.
No, nobody was alive back in the 1960s. Nobody remembers what it looked like. Tear it all down.
Quaint enough to lack many of the modern conveniences, the mall and its stores are aimed mostly at the area's middle-class families.
Do you think that people living in the sixth world look at the 1960s lifestyle the way that we look at, like,
The 1930s or 20s?
I was gonna say even more like colonial lifestyle,
Oh my gosh.
like, do they think that it's just that far back technology that it's just like it just seems like such a like incomprehensible time frame by modern standards, you
I guess. I
know?
mean, going to this place, to the Tacoma Mall, and not having like data terminal kiosks everywhere, would probably be a little off-putting, I would assume.
Yeah, they only take cash. There's no, no,
there's nowhere to slot your cred stick.
Yeah, no cred stick machines in the mall. Cash only.
Well, the Tacoma Mall has several antique stores that are good places to find pre-awakening curios.
Oh.
One of them, the Naughty 90s, also sells bootleg computer programs.
Hell yeah. Imagine going in and you're like, hey, I heard that you got the stuff. And the guy slides you a floppy disk that just says W95 on it. You're like, oh yeah, this is what I need.
Hey, come to you because I heard you got that Oregon Trail.
I was told that you were a man who knew how to sweep for things, particularly if I was in the neighborhood to mine for goods, if you know what I'm saying. Yo, you got Space Pinball 3D?
Space
Pinball.
Let's
go.
Oh my god, let's go.
Nice score, dude. Let's go. You know those bumpers turn green if you hit them enough times? Bro.
Yeah, do it. The government buildings in the location, you obviously have the Port of Tacoma Police Station.
Yep. Checks out. I would imagine a fire department as well.
Yes. There's also Tacoma District Courthouse, the District Hall, obviously, the government buildings. But then you also have the Silcox Island Correctional Facility.
All right, so my next question was going to be, do they have a prison in Tacoma? But no, they have an island prison. All right, cool. Go on.
The prison is a tall, mean-looking, 30-story building in the center of Silcox Island. It is reputable to be a hellhole.
I like to imagine that it's just like, it literally looks like a big gray cube of a building, but then on the front of the building, it has like a frowny face made out of ironed windows, like barred windows. And but he's got like the angry eyebrows as well, and they're like, oh, that's one mean looking building. I wouldn't want to go in there.
30 stories.
That's, man, that's a huge prison. That's crazy.
Like, have you ever seen a... like a stacked prison that's built up? Most prisons that we have in areas are kind of like built out.
Yeah.
But I think there's one in California. There's one that's built up.
There's something about the concept of a vertical prison that just makes it seem that much more terrifying. I don't know what it is, but
I think I watched it on, what was that show? Like 90 days in or whatever it is, where they send normal people into the prison.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They went to this one where it's built vertically. And
that just sounds terrifying.
The way that the prisoners live in there is like weird. They learned that they could like flush the toilets enough to clear them of water and then speak to people that are above them through the pipes. Fuck? And they would pass contraband through the pipes of the toilets.
Oh my god.
And so you'd end up with a lot of like backups from it being flushed so many times, and so there's areas where sewage would start leaking out on floors.
Oh,
and
everything.
It was a nightmare. Plus seeing some of these people's faces, since you're getting so much stuff through the toilet, like their faces look all jacked up.
Oh god,
it is not a pretty picture.
That just sounds terrifying. Like, the concept of having to walk down, like, six flights of stairs to be able to go outside or just stay in prison. Like, Jesus.
Here's the fun part. You know how, like, we're talking about with most prisons that are built flat and out have prison yards where you go outside.
Yeah, yeah.
The vertical prisons do not have prison yards that go outside. They have specific rooms that are just concrete rooms with a big... They have a large opening that's covered with a grated fence so you can see outside.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's open to the outside through that big open window. And you can see, but there's like, you're still in a room.
Nah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they have a little basketball court that might be set up and some weights out there like you would normally see in some prison yards, but that's it. There's no grass. You can't see the sky other than looking out the window. It's not above you. You're still in a room.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't like that. I don't like anything.
That's what makes vertical prison so much more depressing.
Yeah, for sure. Ugh. All right, so island vertical prison of depression.
Yeah, yep. And it's an island as well.
And an island.
How terrible that is.
God.
Ugh. You're gonna get hit with any of those storms that roll in off the Pacific.
Yeah, imagine a power outage from a hurricane with a backed up contraband sewer line.
Oh, dude. Oh, no, thank you. It has to be worse being an island.
Don't go to vertical prison, people. Stay on the straight and narrow.
Yeah. Stay out. Obviously, for businesses, we said there's the Federated Boeing Metal Works.
Yep. Work hard, play hard.
You have the Shiawase Corporation. They have the twin Shiawase Towers, the first buildings to rise from the devastation of the Night of Rage.
Is it just like a corporate tower? Or?
Well, they're the two towers that were built. Its offices handle Shiawase business from most of the Pacific coast, as well as being the site of major cyberware research. The company is known for its high-tech expertise, particularly in cyberware. There are several research facilities in Seattle, include the one at the Humana Hospital in Tacoma.
Okay. So it is just, it's like a corporate tower for them and a research facility. That's cool.
Apparently, they are remarkably unconcerned about security, as tours are long and thorough. They even show you the scout panzers the company used to repel a hostile incursion into one of their factories a few years ago.
I mean, like, the most sure way that you make sure that people don't try to rob you is, you know, you show them the gun, right?
Yeah, here are the tanks that we use to stop the people from breaking in. All right, if we can continue this way.
Yeah. This is the full facial scan 3D software. You've been scanned and are in the database forever since the moment you walked in our compound, so we know who you are.
Right here, this section of floor, you see that slightly darker spot? That is literally where one of the assailants crapped their pants. And the tour moves on.
In this way, please, if you will. You gotta appreciate a thorough tour.
Exactly. As they said, there's the Humana Hospital. Large, well-run hospital is operated by the city's health organization, but does get kickbacks from the Shiawase Cyberware Research Division.
Right, because they're doing research in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, makes sense.
There's also the Doctors' Hospital of Tacoma, which was founded by a group of doctors before the turn of the century. The hospital has always been known for the quality of its orthopedic staff. Then there's the Margaret Bridge Child Health Hospital. The Bridge Hospital concentrates all its efforts on caring for the city's critically ill children. And the hospital has won world renown for its research into childhood diseases and their effects on meta-human children.
Hey, let's go, metas.
Trying to make the world better for the next generations.
Hell yeah.
All right, other places of interest. We're into the miscellaneous area. We have Fenris Noct.
I feel like you've mentioned this before. That name seems familiar.
I have mentioned it before. In the context of the terrorist organization Winter Night, who we haven't really talked about yet on the pod, but it is for a future one for sure.
Right.
This is a nightclub that at first glance, this place looks more like a primitive cave than a Tacoma nightclub. That is, if you can get in past the armed doorman. Secrecy and privacy are the key words here. Very interesting place.
What is it a nightclub for? Or is it just like a normal nightclub?
It is a normal nightclub. It's just security is extremely tight.
Gotcha.
And the fact that it looks like you're walking into a cave and not a nightclub.
I mean, that is pretty cool.
Right? You have Palace of China nightclub. The Palace of China is one of the best nightclubs in Tacoma. Its ornate medieval Chinese decor is popular with the area's wealthy young singles. The club owner is also a skilled mage who often demonstrates elaborate illusions for his patrons. Although they will not admit trolls.
Trolls hate magic.
No trolls in the Palace of China. Sorry. Then you have Tacoma Nibbles and Bites. And Bites is spelled B-Y-T-E-S.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh.
This store carries excellent computer equipment as well as a small selection of rare talismans and lore books.
Oh. So it's literally just a Fry's Electronics. Okay, cool.
both deckers and magicians like this store because of the selection that you can get.
Yeah, they would like the nerd store where all the nerds go.
The owner is particularly helpful and will sometimes conduct tours of the local matrix for novices or for those that are unfamiliar with the area.
Oh, what a guy.
What a guy.
That place does sound legit dope, though, not gonna lie.
Tacoma Nibbles and Bites.
Yeah, it's, you know what, a fantastic name. Like mm-hmm. it, good branding, and like the concept of just like an old school computer part component store but also magic is mm-hmm. like, it's just, I like it.
Who,
it's very good.
Why aren't there more of these, right? Who would have
thought? Oh, dude, that's definitely where our Jason Bourne runner has to work during the day, right? He's just like a sales associate at Nibbles and Bites.
Wow, I feel like we're going for a whole Chuck vibe here.
And then he can just work out of Tacoma instead of having to be in Seattle. That'd be a change right? of dude. All right. I'm filing this down for future okay. reference.
Fantastic.
Nibbles and Bites.
Then we have Zelensky's Electronics. It's a medium store and body shop. Zelensky's is a front for a small body shop run by one Dr. Margaret Carruthers, who does a lot of work altering local Yakuza street samurai.
Okay, so that was going to answer my next question.
Which was?
When you say a body shop, do you mean for a car or do you mean like augmentation?
No. Yes.
Body
yes.
shop. Okay.
So most of the time when you hear the term body shop in the sixth world, assume it means for your literal body.
Augmentation instead.
Yes.
See, okay. And here's
absolutely means augmentation.
Here's the problem, though, is that nickname is close enough to be either, but so is the alternative, because the alternative would be to call it a chop shop. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure in Cyberpunk 2077, the chop shop is what they call the augmentation place. And so it just, it all comes back around.
Right? You can't escape it.
Just don't drive cars in your cyberpunk reality, and it makes it way easier for the rest of us.
Yes, yes.
Because also, with there being the abundance of go-gangs in the area, it would make sense that a body shop could be where they get the bikes worked. I'm just saying. We need better slang.
We need more slang.
Here we go. What would be your alternative name to a body augmentation shop? If you had to come up with a slang name for a body shop, quote unquote, what would you call them? Well, no, I meant a body shop.
Cause... Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not a chop shop or body shop, right?
Mm-hmm. Another slang term a la chop shop or body shop, but mm-hmm. that is not those, so we can get away from the issue.
I mean, I'd go with the tried and true. I call it an organ grinder.
An organ grinder? Okay. Yeah, not bad. Yeah. Not bad. I like it. I was trying to think of either auger or augie and just have it stand for augment.
Mm-hmm.
But I think auger sounds more cool guy cyberpunky, but augie's just funny. Gotta go see my augie. My legs are acting up. You can't, it's one of those words where you can't sound tough when you say it.
Right.
It's somewhat disarming, which makes sense because he works at a chop shop. Oh,
wow.
Augies, that's what we're calling them. if you guys out there need a new slang term for your chop shop purveyors, call them organ grinders or call them Augies. Let us know.
I do have a little bit of an update for the Fenris Nacht nightclub.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you go there, make sure you're invited.
Ah,
so it's I almost see. Like a speakeasy.
Got to be on the list.
Apparently, it is also a popular location with urban shapeshifters.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sorry. I think I may have missed it earlier when you were talking about it. Are they associated with the terrorist group? Or is this just
no, they're not. It's just happenstance, the name.
Okay, I get you.
Yes. Huh. Just happenstance, not actually associated with the terrorist organization.
Fair. I hope that they have that on the outside of the building. That's also supposed to be an inconspicuous building that you're not supposed to know is the super cool nightclub.
Right.
That's a weird plaque anyway.
This is not a super conspicuous nightclub.
Yeah. It just happens to be a similar name. We are in no way associated with terrorists. Well, this seems like a fun building. What's going on in here?
Well, when we talk about Winter Night, you realize how secretive they actually were. So it wasn't fair. They weren't widely known.
Fair. For some reason, okay, I'm actually really excited to talk about Winter Night because they're like one of the organizations in this lore that I am super interested in, based on what I know that they've already done. But in my brain, I imagine them as being the terrorist bad guys from the first XXX movie. I keep imagining them as Anarchy 99, and it's it's so much better to me that like it's all like European new metal dudes that are like this like super like Viking obsessed terrorist organization. I don't know, there's something about it. I'm just like, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Also, some quick more information about the Spikes, the all troll go gang that control Inner City 5. The Spikes are founded by the infamous elf hater Lord Torgo.
I mean, at least he's, you know, royalty.
I mean, self-proclaimed.
Do you mean to tell me that Prince wasn't actually a prince?
I hate to break this to you.
Oh, Jesus.
And Lord Torgo was definitely a specimen among trolls.
Uh-huh.
And that he was bigger and tougher than your average troll.
Okay, and smarter than the average bear, they say.
however, he was imprisoned for murder.
See, you got to be smart enough to not get caught. Is the other part? Yeah.
And his leadership was challenged by other gang members who were more interested in making new yen than killing elves.
You know what? I can appreciate that change in direction. They're like, wouldn't it be easier if we just, like, robbed people? Yeah, man, like anybody. Anybody with money. We just want the money.
So, eventually he dies in prison, Lord Torgo does.
I was going to say, notice you're mentioning a lot of past tense there.
Yeah, yes. Well, he dies in prison.
Uh-huh.
And the leadership of the gang is then taken over by a minotaur.
Dope.
Apparently with purple-colored fur.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And he calls himself BTO.
Okay, you know that we love a good acronym on this show, Easy.
What do you think it stands for?
BTO.
You're definitely not going to get it, I promise.
Okay.
There's no way.
My guess is biggest, toughest offender.
That's a good one. That's good. That's good. I think you'll be surprised what it actually stands for.
Okay, I am very interested.
Are you ready? This Minotaur, BTO, the short form of Babe the Ox.
Hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah, dude. Oh, but he's purple.
Yeah, he's purple.
He should be blue.
It's purple.
Oh, okay. You know what? I love it. I'm down with it still. As you said that it was taken over by a Minotaur, I was just like, yo, a Minotaur on a motorcycle is a terrifying concept for some reason.
Right?
And I think it's because it's like, imagine if you got like getting into an accident with a Minotaur would be just devastating. It's like hitting three moose at the same time.
That's probably true. Well, the other thing that makes it probably so intimidating is when you say motorcycle.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are going to think of like the racing motorcycles that you see or the... Yeah.
Or like a chopper, right?
We want to go chopper. We're going old school like old school Harleys,
but to be modified to fit a Minotaur, like that motorcycle
or a troll.
Would,
yeah.
Yeah. That motorcycle yeah. would be like 3.5 feet, 4 feet tall. Like yes. they would be so be massive. Huge.
And now think of a gang of them running down Inner City 5.
Bear, man. You know what? Let them have it, dude. I don't think you can't stop that gang. That's so crazy.
It's not contested. I mean, the ancients are the only ones that tangle with the spikes the most. But
I think that that's just the elf and former elf hater rivalry still kind of playing out there.
Right? Maybe.
Yeah.
And to let you know that currently in our timeline of Sinless, Lord Togo is still in charge.
Okay.
In our current timeline that we're using, but in the future, not so much.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So yes. Did he get killed in prison by somebody challenging the leadership? Is that what it was? Or
he died in isolation.
Oh, okay. Well, that's.
Yeah. He didn't play nice with the other inmates. So they just threw him in an isolation cell and he eventually died there.
Damn.
Yeah.
Sucks,
what a terrible way to go.
Dude, that's yeah. You know what? Fair enough, man. Guy sounded kind of like an asshole. So you know
just constantly hating elves. Didn't want to do anything else. Just kill elves.
Yeah. So I don't know, fuck him, sounds like. I'm all right.
Yeah. I mean, to get into the spikes, new recruits don't earn their place and in the gang until they kill an elf.
Oh my god.
Any elf, doesn't matter. Just gotta kill one elf. Got some elf hate going.
The initiation group is just like watching him from like around the corner of a building, and they're just like, "Hate crime, hate crime, hate crime."
Just chanting on their bikes.
Huh? I wonder why the ancients still have this weird grudge with them. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I couldn't put it together. No Jesus. Idea. Maybe you could tell me. that will put Seattle that'll put Tacoma at a glance right there.
Seems like a interesting place to live. It seems honestly like it would be as equally of an interesting setting to actually put or to set like a Shadowrun campaign in.
Just I think in Tacoma.
Yeah, I think Tacoma could be dope by its own. You've got the whole mafia integration already there. You've got corpo presence. Mm-hmm. You've got the
mafia
docks.
Versus yaks. You have all the docks, everything that comes in. You know, smuggling's got to be huge.
Yeah.
So yeah, you could run in a really in-depth crazy campaign completely contained within Tacoma pretty easily.
Seems like a dope place.
It's a large section of the Metroplex too.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's the second largest city behind Seattle, right?
Yes.
For Shadowrun? Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, technically, Puyallup has more area than Tacoma, but a lot of that is lava field and unlivable, so that
yeah, no
really...
population density wise,
it doesn't count.
Tacoma definitely wins the population battle there.
Yes.
So yeah, it seems dope. I kind of like, I like the concept of Tacoma because I feel like you could do a lot more like interesting campaign settings there.
Mm-hmm.
Downtown or like with even, I mean, the Barrens, I kind of just associate with downtown Seattle. In terms of being like of the same location type.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like you're just doing like the cyberpunk city setting. But Tacoma sounds like it has so much more interesting potential than just that, mm-hmm. that you could really get into. It's cool. I really like it.
Yeah. And plus Tacoma borders the downtown area as well. So
yeah. So if you need to go to Seattle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool. It seems like a dope place, easy, and I like it.
I honestly think if I was stuck in the Metroplex, I would probably be living in Tacoma.
That's very fair. I also just like that there's like nothing really bad happened in Tacoma. Like, mm-hmm. there's no real kind of down negative stuff with Tacoma, except for
the Night of Rage. You
okay,
know?
Except for it being where the Night of Rage took place. However,
Okay.
However, in spite of that, it is also very much like a very meta positive area of the Metroplex, it sounds like, which is
well
cool.
I think that it is just because they want to try harder to erase that stain of race riot from their history. So,
hey,
you know,
understandable. But if it means that it actually ends up being a better place to live for metas, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, there's lots of meta integration. I mean, you'll still run into the occasional place that won't allow certain meta types into their location, but you'll get that anywhere in the Metroplex. So.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds cool. I like Tacoma. But again, like I was saying, outside of the Night of Rage,
right?
Like, everything else about it's just like, yeah, this is pretty cool. It seems pretty like a pretty dope place.
One bad thing. It just has the most inhospitable prison complex that I can imagine.
Hey, just don't go to prison. We talked about this. Don't do crime. It's not worth it. Don't do crime. If the answer is vertical prison, don't do crime.
Fantastic. Oh man. Well, that's all I got. You have anything else you'd like to add about Tacoma?
I do not, except that I do think that is going to be the location for our undercover runner. I think a Tacoma with him would be way more fun.
Okay.
As well.
That sounds good. That sounds good. Well, all right.
It's a good time. Yay, good Tacoma. Time.
Yay, Tacoma. All right. You guys have heard it here. So let us know, would you also be living in the Tacoma area? Or has anything else that we've talked about this evening also sparked your interest to create some new, unique Shadowrun runners? I definitely really want to look into doing that paracritter.
Projectile Nova Possum is TM critical hits. So I just
sorry.
Want to put that out there.
Sorry about your luck, guys. Yeah, it's already...
Anybody that was thinking of using it, you owe us money, first and foremost. Secondly, not allowed. So
we'll take your new yen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, all right, guys. I hope you have enjoyed your evening with us. And as always, we want to thank you for tuning in. And of course, we will catch you guys on the next one.
The Topps Company, Inc. has sole ownership of the names, logo, artwork, marks, photographs, sound, audio, video, and or any proprietary materials used in connection with the game Shadowrun. The Topps Company, Inc. has granted permission to Critical Hits to use such names, logos, artwork, photographs, sound, audio, video, and or any proprietary materials for promotional and informational purposes on its website, but does not endorse and is not affiliated with Critical Hits in any official capacity whatsoever.